Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
From Acts 16, verse 25 through verse 34, the account of the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Thinking that the prisoners were about to escape, the man was ready to commit suicide. Paul told him to do himself no harm, for they were all there. And then the man raised a question that deals with life's most urgent matter. His question was, "What must I do to be saved?" And indeed, there is something for man to do. Yes, Christ paid the price 2,000 years ago at Calvary. He provided the way. But there is still a part that man must play if he wants to be saved. And we notice that there were some things opposing our taking care of life's most urgent matter. One, there is the world. We're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father shall abide forever. 1 John 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. And did you notice verse 17? They that do the will of the Father shall abide forever with God. Indeed, there is something for man to do. And so there is the world that opposes us. A second power opposing our salvation is our own flesh. The flesh is often a helpless handicap to the spirit. At times we may want to do the things that are right, that are appointed by God, yet the weakness of the flesh draws us in an opposite direction. The body is this world oriented. The flesh wars against the spirit and would destroy it. And so our Lord exhorted the Apostle Peter, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26, 41. And all of us are faced with this same problem. We want to do what is right, but our flesh has desires and lusts that draw us to things that are wrong. We cannot afford to give in to the flesh and its desires. Paul exhorted in Galatians 5, verse 16 and verse 17, "Walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other. Our bodies are not evil in and of themselves, but the flesh is weak, and the flesh is prone to give in to sin." And so, opposing our salvation is our own flesh. Another power which opposes our salvation, works to destroy, is Satan. I'm afraid that not many people take Satan seriously. We joke about him. We represent him as an ugly-looking character in a red suit with horns, a forked tail, with a pitchfork. But friends, the Bible presents him as one able to appear even as an angel of light. One who will deceive men, who will lead them to destruction. Now, Satan is a spirit being, but he has real powers. He's constantly setting traps for the souls of men. The Bible speaks of the snares of the devil. These snares are simply traps that are laid with skill, and every one of those traps is baited in such a way as to draw someone into it. And Satan, when allowed to have control of your life, can fill your heart with evil. Peter explained that the lie told by Ananias, a lie he told regarding what he had sold and how much he had gotten for it and how much he had laid at the apostles' feet, was really lying to the Holy Spirit, and that Satan had filled his heart. Now, Satan cannot fill a man's heart against a man's own will. Christ is represented in Scripture as knocking at the door of man's heart, seeking to enter. Well, Satan is knocking also, and you decide which one to admit. The Lord wants to save you, the devil wants to destroy you, and Satan is opposed to your salvation. And just as surely as you allow him to enter your heart, He will fill it with evil, and Satan will destroy you. The world, the flesh, Satan are all opposed to your salvation. The power represented in these forces is a frighteningly great power. We cannot overcome these powers by our own strength, but God's power is sufficient to defeat them. Well, how can we have the power of God in our fight against evil? Well, we're brought back to our original question, what must I do to be saved? And we want to answer this question first in the negative, and then we'll notice the positive answer to that question, and this being from God's Word. First, there are some things that you must not do. If you really want to be saved, you must not deny your need for salvation. You can't afford to play it cool with God. Without Him, you're lost. You're condemned to death. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And since all men are sinners, Romans 3:23, it follows that all men are lost, all men are condemned to death. If all men are lost because of their sin, then you're lost because of your sin. And your realization of your lostness is the first step toward being saved. Unless you're concerned enough to want to know what to do to be saved, you can never have the Lord's promises. Well, neither must you imagine that you have nothing to do in your salvation. There are two sides to salvation. There's the divine side, there's the human side. The divine side is the greater side. It involves the most responsibility. God had to plan salvation. Christ had to provide it through His death. And the Holy Spirit had to reveal it through inspired men who preached and wrote the gospel. But because the greater part of salvation is the divine part, we cannot assume that the human part is unimportant. Man does have a role to play in his salvation. That obligation is stated by our Lord in Matthew 7:21, when He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Man must respond to heaven's invitation. Man must believe that God has made salvation available, and he must be willing to do the Father's will regarding that salvation. In other words, man must obey certain commands that are found in the gospel. The truth is demonstrated by a passage of Scripture from the book of Hebrews, verse 8 and 9 of Hebrews 5. "Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him." Many religious people contend that God will finally save everybody. My friend, this simply is not true. The Lord will save only those who have been obedient to His will. The human part in salvation is small when compared to God's part, the divine part. But the human part is just as necessary. And if you would be saved from your sins, you must take care not to be deceived by a false theory of salvation. There are so many doctrines of salvation taught by so many different religious groups. Well, how can one be sure of what is right? How may one know that he is saved? You must test whether men tell you about salvation by the Word of God. God's Word is absolute truth. It's our only source of correct information about salvation. No doctrine which contradicts any part of the Bible can be true. For example, reference has just been made to the doctrine of universal salvation, the notion that all men will eventually be saved regardless of faith or lack of faith. Friend, is a false doctrine because it contradicts Christ's plain statement that not everyone who calls Him Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, that's the one that's going to be saved. Another example of a doctrine of salvation which contradicts the Bible is the doctrine of salvation by faith only, or faith alone. The Bible very clearly states that salvation is not by faith alone in James 2:24. And no doctrine which contradicts any part of the Bible is true. You must test what you are taught by the gospel. You must accept and believe only what is found in the gospel, and believe nothing that contradicts any part of them. And then the last negative, if you would be saved, you must not wait for a better or more convenient time in which to receive salvation. Salvation, friend, is too urgent for your procrastination. One may do sin, and then it becomes harder with every sin that he commits. Refuse salvation today, and you may never be able to receive it as full of, with the full sense of joy. Treat it with contempt once, and the gospel will never be so appealing again. Inspiration says, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Well, these are some things not to do. What must we do if we want to be saved? We must renounce ourselves, admit our sin, and ask with the jailer, what must I do to be saved? He was told on that occasion to believe on the Lord. It was an obedient faith that Paul and Silas were speaking of. For that very night he repented in washing their stripes. He was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. And he is to remain faithful to death if he would have the crown of life. What was required of the Philippian jailer is still required today. Have you taken care of life's most urgent matter? If we can be of help in any way, don't hesitate to call. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.